Well, are you ready for change? Amen. It doesn't happen apart from you. You know, God offers it, but we have something to cooperate with, right? And remember what Pastor told us on Sunday. He said, whatever you grab hold of, you get to take home. Remember, he was talking about on that game show, you know, that money grab, they have that tunnel, that thing that's closed in and all the money's flying around. Whatever you can grab, you can take home. So God's going to offer us some things tonight. You decide what you take home. Amen. I tell my kids and remind myself every time we're on our way to church, we are not going to church to hear something. We are going to church to learn what we can do. So every time we're coming to church, I remind my kids of that. It's not the hearer that's blessed, it's the doer. And remember, when the storm comes, those who have their life founded upon the word have a foundation. They will not be moved. And so let's open here, if you will, to John chapter 16. And did you know this, that you don't get people to be better by beating them? You get them to be better by leading them. And so if there's some conviction here tonight, don't let the enemy add to that a beating, right? He wants to share some things with you that you can change and offer you a higher life, but it's not to beat you up. That's not what God does. That's what the enemy does. So he's not here beating anybody up about what you're not. He's offering you a higher life, right? And so John 16, 13 says this. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he shall guide you. And remember over in Exodus that even in the Old Testament, now we have the guide on the inside now as believers, but remember even in the Old Testament, God led them. Remember, he led them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So even in the Old Testament, he was trying to lead his people. And we're going to learn tonight how that works. He's not beating anybody into change. He's leading them. And Alicia, stand up here for a second. I know you love to do this and be in front of people, so I'm helping you. I'm helping you. You're welcome. And Isaiah 41, remember Isaiah 41? It says, the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand. And fear not, I will help you. Do you know what our help is now in the New Testament? John 14, 26, the helper, the Holy Spirit on the inside, and he's leading and guiding. And we're going to learn tonight how he does that. But if you'll follow him and stay full of the Spirit, what he does is this. Here you are on the road of life, and there's a difficulty up ahead. And as you're praying in the Holy Ghost, he'll go around this one. And then, oh, he sees a financial need up ahead, so he'll lead you over here to give this person money. And then, but he's not beating you about it. He's just leading you into it. He's guiding you to it. And as you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, then there'd be something up here, and maybe you go through it, but he helps you go through it quicker, right? And so all throughout your life, you can go back to your seat, what the Holy Ghost is trying to do is to help us. To lead us, to guide us. He's not here to beat us. That's not how he helps us change. Now, as you're on the road of life, you may come to times where, you know, you're in disobedience and you're out of God's will and things might be hard for you, but that's not because of God, right? And so he's going to show us here tonight some things that he wants us to know to help us make personal change. If you will, open with me. I'm going to share some things with you out of the Word about personal change, but to Numbers. Go to Numbers chapter 13. And my husband's been ministering some out of this. I don't know if it was this exact portion of Scripture, but some things that he shared with us. And I couldn't help but think about what he said, that the Israelites thought the giants were their problem. But remember what he said? Themselves were their problem. And so God's going to help us change some things about ourselves tonight, right? And you can go home, and I encourage you to go home. Whenever you're determined to change something, to make an adjustment in your life, do it as soon as possible. It's kind of like, you know, when you come to that place and you know that you need to lose some weight, don't keep putting it off. And it's always on Monday, right? You can only start losing weight on a Monday. It's just, it's in the Bible somewhere. You start on a Monday. Nobody starts on a Wednesday. Nobody starts on a Saturday. And you sure don't start on a Sunday, right? Because Sunday's for just lounging on the couch eating food, you know, after church. But what happens is Monday comes and, you know, we get a little tripped up and we didn't do it that Monday. So what do? We wait another week till the next Monday before we start. But the best thing you can do is just start right now. Just start now. So the things that you hear tonight, before you go to bed tonight, start it. Just even if it's for 10 minutes, whatever he said to you in your heart, do it for 10 minutes. You know, we're going to talk about praying in the Holy Ghost and as a help to you. But start it now. Because the longer you put it off, the less likely you are to do it, right? Have you realized that? And have a determination. And so Numbers chapter 13, why don't you start here with me, if you will, in verse 25. And we're going to read quite a bit of this portion of scripture down to 33. And it says in verse 25, now this is the Israelites going to spy out the land. So they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Pharaoh and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So, just like there's a promised land in the Old Testament, in this portion of Scripture, there's a promised land for us. In the New Testament, it's called perfect health. It's called full supply in your finances. It's called divine peace. It's called joy in your marriage. All the promises that he gave us, that's the promised land. That's what's flowing with milk and honey. But did you know, just like the Israelites, we still have to use faith to walk in it, right? And so this is just a type and shadow of things in the New Testament. And it said, and though it flow with milk and honey, verse 27, and this is the fruit of it, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And have you ever noticed that the things that you need to change, right? It could be maybe you've been suffering in your body for years. It could be that you've dealt with anxiety for years. It could be that you've been meaning to put God first and seek him more for years. It could be a difficulty in your marriage for years. I'm talking about believers. You know, they've had difficulty in their life for years and for years and for years. And God's wanting to get them out of that wilderness into the promised land. And yet there are things that come up, right, that try and keep you out. And Caleb had this attitude. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And you know what happens sometimes is that people get in a difficulty, let's say a physical trial, and they get there and they start to think like the Israelites thought, that we can't do this. Yeah, we've seen what the promised land looked like, but we can't go there. It's too big for us to overcome. This diagnosis is just too big. You know, what the doctor said, the report is just too bad. And we let those things keep us out. It matters what our heart says, what the inside says, what our mindset is toward it. Are we going to get out? You know, my dad smoked my whole life, smoked a lot, like 2 packs of cigarettes a day. And he didn't want to give it up. Because as a kid, we always tried to get him, you know, to give it up. But he didn't want to. And he came to a place, my uncle was diagnosed with cancer, and it was a very serious type of cancer in the throat, and the prognosis was really bad. And my dad said, here, my brother-in-law is struggling for life, doing all that he can, suffering immeasurably to stay alive, and I'm killing myself. And in a day, he said, I'm done. And he literally, after all, my whole life of smoking, quit in a day, never used the patch, never got a medication, never went back to it one time. Why? Because he decided. And we go round and round and round the mountain with these things that are against us because we really just haven't decided, I'm done. I'm done being lazy spiritually. I'm done not being obedient in my finances. I'm done living this secret sinful life. I'm done mistreating my spouse and thinking negative. You know, you can get in a cycle with that, right? And you can build momentum with it, that you're always picking at your spouse, always thinking the worst of them, always putting them down, you know, always negative against them and thinking, oh, of course you'd do it like that and that sort of thing. And if you're not careful, you can think the other person is the problem. But did you know you're then the problem? The Bible said, why do you look at the small piece that's in your brother's eye when you have the bigger piece in your eye? And what is the problem? That you're accusing them, right? So we have all these areas of our life in which we need personal change. And Galatians 5:22 has promised us a supernatural supply to help us make it. Do you know what it's called? Self-control. I told the kids at youth camp, you know, when you're a kid and your parents don't let you do something that you want to do, or, you know, they have restrictions on you or whatever, what do kids do? They slam the door, they talk back, they stomp up the stairs, you know, all the teenage stuff. But I told the kids, did you know you don't have to do that? You don't have to. You can stop anytime you want. It's called self-control. You have it on the inside, just go ahead and exercise it. The next time you feel like talking back to your parents, shut your mouth. The next time you feel like stomping up the stairs, better walk up slow and light. When you feel like slamming the door, check yourself. With this guy that used to come in the church, he'd say, check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? And then he used to say, you need a checkup from the neck up, remember? Check up what you're thinking. But all these things that we've gotten in a habit of doing, right? People can be in a habit of condemning themselves. You know, I had that habit. And on January of this year, I decided I'm not doing that anymore. I'm just not going to live like that anymore. And I'd like to tell you I had that thought and, oh, it just all drifted away. I thought I'm done and there it goes out the door. But I'm here to tell you, I'm almost a year in, and I've had to apply some great effort in this area to not condemn myself, right? You can be your own worst enemy. To not think poorly of yourself and be hard on yourself, you know, that was my natural bent, just to be hard on myself, you know, hold myself to an unrealistic standard, you know. But what is it for you? Is it shame and guilt and condemnation? Is it this attitude in marriage that you've had for years and you just don't want to set it down? Because if you want it to be better, right, it can.
It can be. That's right.
Just remember my dad.
Yeah.
If once you decide, it can change.
Yes.
And so are you tired of the same old you? You know, are you tired of the way you've been? Because God doesn't magically drop it down on you. I think it's over in 2 Corinthians where it says, we're workers together with him. Workers together with him. He offers you a thing to do, then you do it. Then he offers you something else to do, and you do it. And he offers you another thing, and you do it toward this goal. Until you overcome it. But I want you to know it's going to take some effort. But it's so worth it. You know, are you tired of living in fear and anxiety and panic? You don't have to anymore. You can decide to have a different life. And tonight, one of the things we're going to talk about is how the Holy Ghost helps you do that. And one of the greatest helps to personal change is praying in the Holy Ghost. So let's finish this over here first. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now I want to go over here to chapter 14, verse 1. Listen to this. God said to him, "Every good thing, such wonderful things I have for you. Here it is, just go take it." And look what they did, verse 1 of chapter 14. They cried and wept all night. God's telling us, "I have perfect peace for you. I have divine strength in your body. I have supernatural help for you, for your marriage." And we cry and weep, you know, and throw a tantrum and say it's out of our control and it's just not my fault and God's word doesn't work. But we haven't applied any personal change. And if we want a better life, you know, we've heard for years, if you want to go up, you have to give up. That doesn't mean financially. You might have to give up some of your time. You might have to give up some time so you can pray, so you can read your Bible. You may have to give up what you want to put your spouse first. You may have to give up some time at your job so you can actually be at church. You know, you're going to have to give up to go up. And if you're dealing with some things like symptoms in your body and panic and fear and anxiety, you're going to have to forsake some things. It's called your feelings and your thoughts. You're going to have to forsake them because they try and boss your life. "I don't feel like praying." Well, so? When you start out, you mostly don't. "I don't feel like walking in love to him. He had an attitude." Well, so? You know, you don't have to look for people to treat you good because he treats you good. And what they do to you, he'll make up for. And I'm not looking for anybody to lay out the red carpet for me and just handle me so. You know 1 Corinthians 13? If you need something to meditate in and you're not sure where to study the Bible, study that in the Amplified Version. It'll keep you busy your whole Christian life. Your whole Christian life, I promise. I promise. But love is not touchy. Mm-hmm. Well, they said it to me like that. So? Who cares? You're going to have to be bigger on the inside. So somebody does something to you to work against you. It's part of life. You'll be fine. You know, my kids used to come home from school when they were little and say, "Oh, Mom, you know, I got in trouble for such and such and I didn't really do it." And I said, "It doesn't matter because there's plenty of times you did do it and didn't get in trouble. So it'll all shake out in the end. No worries, you know." But, "Oh, sorry your feelings got hurt because you got in trouble for something you didn't do. You'll be fine." Because all of life, people might do things to you that aren't nice. But 1 Corinthians 13 will help you know how to handle all that. And so if you're putting off changing until people treat you good, until you have a good feeling, until the time is right, until your schedule allows, forget it. You're going to have to move personal change to the front and start doing something with your word and in prayer. If you want things to be different. If you don't, just go ahead and keep doing what you're doing. And if you've been in a cycle of something for years, like you're dealing with something, the same thing for years and years in your body, whatever it is, you need to change. Because he doesn't change. His word always comes true for those who work it. You know, but did you know the word doesn't work for everybody? No, it doesn't. It works for those who you add faith to it. If you add something to it, you have to work with God with the word. And so here they are. Sorry, we promised you all your heart's desires. They cried and wept all night. And that's what we do. And I think God laughs sometimes. You know that scripture? I think it's in Job. I don't know. He sits in the heavens and laughs. I think it's because we're so dumb sometimes about things. Like, I've given you all these promises and you're crying and weeping and acting like it ain't true. And so, why don't we go over here to verse 14, 13, no, 11. I can't read it totally without my glasses. So it looked like 13, but it is 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? How long do you want to provoke God? Oh, I don't. Why were they provoking him? Because he had such wonderful things for them, and they're just crying, complaining, and weeping. It's not true in their life. And so he said over here in verse 11, how long? And he said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? How long will it be till they believe me? He could ask us that same thing. Because we read this account of the Israelites and we go, how could you wander out there for so long? Till a whole generation died off. What were you thinking? How could you do that? And some people would do that their whole life. Here in the New Testament, with the guide on the inside, with the Holy Ghost on the inside, the strengthener, the comforter, the standby, we have God at a second's notice, and we're still just wandering around, doing the same old thing, getting nowhere. So we need to be determined to have this personal change. So the way that we do it, number one, and this is the only thing I'm going to share tonight, is this, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Here's your help in getting personal change, getting on top of something. What is it that's trying to dog you? People say, well, I don't know exactly what needs to change. Well, what is it that pushes your buttons? You know, are you a hothead? You know, you got a hot temper? Where the smallest thing sets you off, that's the thing to change. When people talk bad about you and, you know, gossip about you and say all kind of things and, you know, you start to get all worked up, that's the thing to change. See, because we should get to a place, doesn't matter what you say about me. Because I know what he says about me. And so no matter what you say and do, he's the same. And he treats me good. And he has good things to say about me. And so what is it that troubles you? What is it that riles you up? What is it that brought defeat in your life? That's the thing to change. And here's how change starts. Acts 1, verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. That's what we need, right? Yes. To overcome some things, to make personal changes. It's not just on our own. Remember, we're workers together with him. We need divine power. And guess what? You have it already. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto othermost parts of the earth. And I'm going to share something with you out of this book from Brother Hagin about tongues, but First, I want you to know this. Can you go to verse 8 in the Amplified Classic? What is this power? Do we have verse 8 in the Amplified? Okay. Ability, efficiency, and might. Yeah. We're going to need some might for these personal changes. And if you look up in the King James Strong's, the Strong's definition of power is this: miraculous power, ability, abundance, might, strength, mighty, wonderful work. I mean, dear Lord, would you like him to do a mighty, wonderful work in your life? It's not just that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. That's good, but that's not what helps. What helps is you pray in tongues. That's the help. And so some people have said, well, you know, we knew more, we did better because we were filled with the Holy Ghost. No, it's because you're filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues. That's where the power is. And then this, listen to this definition of power. Moral power. Are you struggling with some moral things? You know, watching what you shouldn't on the internet. You know, being with people that you shouldn't. You know, having conversations that you shouldn't. Well, praying in the Holy Ghost will give you power against that thing. Moral power and excellence of soul. Right here. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes, reading the Bible helps to renew your mind, but praying in the Holy Ghost will help you think straight. Okay. So if you don't have this book, you need it. It's thick and it's a little wordy. Brother Hagin's Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. But in, I read it slow, mostly because I'm not as smart as Tim. But I like to absorb it as well. And it's not a quick read. But let me share something with you out of here concerning Brother Hagin's experience with being filled with the Holy Ghost in praying in other tongues. And he had been pastoring for a short time when he was filled with the Holy Ghost and prayed with other tongues. And his church that he pastored then was not a full gospel church, okay? And a lot of the people there didn't want it to be a full gospel church. They were against praying in the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, okay? So Brother Hagin gets filled with the Holy Ghost. He's praying in other tongues, and he tells one man in his church, a man named Mr. Cox, okay? He's not going to tell anybody else because nobody else wants that. As a matter of fact, they had some people who, some Pentecostal people who started going to this church when Brother Hagin was pastoring, and one of the men in his church, Mr. Curry, said that he did not like them coming to the church, and if people started praying in tongues in that church, he was taking his whole family and leaving, okay? So this Mr. Curry, he's against being filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. He's going on a trip with his wife to Europe for 3 months. And while he's gone, Brother Hagin gets filled with the Holy Ghost, starts praying in other tongues, and he tells one man in his church, Mr. Cox. Then Mr. Curry comes back from Europe, and he starts to notice something about Brother Hagin. So here's where I'll pick it up. Mr. Curry, remember the man who was against praying in tongues and who had gone to Europe, he said to Mr. Cox, now Mr. Cox knows what's happened to Brother Hagin. He said, something's happened to our preacher while I was gone. Mr. Cox thought, well, who told him what happened to our preacher? I didn't tell him. Maybe Brother Hagin told someone and it leaked out. And then Mr. Cox said, what do you mean something happened to him? And Mr. Curry said, well, he's a better preacher than he was before. And Mr. Cox replied, well, Mr. Curry, I always thought Brother Hagin was a pretty powerful preacher. And he said, Mr. Curry said, oh, I did too, but I'm telling you, there's something he has now he didn't used to have. And Mr. Cox realized that no one had told Mr. Curry anything. So to encourage Mr. Curry to keep talking, he said, well, sure enough, what does the preacher have? And Mr. Curry said, I don't know what it is, but now when he preaches, you can feel it. And when he talks, he has a power he didn't used to have. And the church members were also sensing the power that Brother Hagin had. And Mr. Curry said, I've always enjoyed Brother Hagin's preaching, but I'll tell you what, when he preaches now, it hits you. The message punches you. His words have authority behind them they didn't have before. Mr. Cox thought, well, I better tell Mr. Curry what really happened to Brother Hagen before he hears it from someone else in a negative context. So Mr. Cox said, do you want to know what happened to our preacher while you're gone? And Mr. Curry said, yes. And he said, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and he prays in other tongues. And Mr. Cox told me later, when I said that to Mr. Curry, he dropped his head and didn't say anything for a long time. I didn't know what he was going to do when he looked up, but he said, he thought he was going to say, that's it, I'm pulling my family out of this church, and I don't care if it creates a division. But when Mr. Curry looked up, he had tears in his eyes, and he said, well, I'll tell you one thing about it, it makes a believer out of me. I heard Brother Ken preach before, and I've heard him preach since. And there's a power and a depth of spirituality he didn't have before. Now, Brother Hagen said he thought when he got filled with the Holy Ghost and started to pray in other tongues, he'd feel like this mighty rush of God's power. You know, he'd feel super strong. He'd have such a sense of, you know, what God was doing in his life and how big and powerful God was now and all these things. And he said, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel any different praying in the Holy Ghost than I did before I prayed in the Holy Ghost. And I was under this assumption because it said, you'll receive power, that I'd feel it. Yeah. Amen. But he said, I had the power even though I didn't feel it. Yeah. And it was evident to other people around me the power that was working in my life when I didn't tell anybody I was filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues. And I know some people get discouraged because they pray in the Spirit and they think, well, there's no fireworks happening. I'm not having visions. I'm not having dreams. You know, there's no golden path to some, you know, treasure and all this kind of stuff. Where's the power? Listen, it's in you. Oh, hold on. Let me share one other part, okay? Let me get back to this portion. This was just quickened to me. Brother Hagen said this. Then I began to notice the difference too, over time. In my personal life, I'd come up against tests and trials and temptations that used to take everything I had to barely squeak through them. But since I received the Holy Ghost and pray in other tongues, I noticed there's an extra something that's helped me now with trials and temptations, and I have a new sense of victory. And so it may not be some outward fireworks show like you're thinking when you hear this word power. But there's something happening on the inside that's empowering you with personal change, trials, difficulties, when people work against you, when things seemingly fall apart. There's something in you that'll put you over. And so when people go and pray in the Holy Ghost and they say, well, my prayer time didn't feel super powerful. It didn't seem like a whole lot changed. Yes, but it is anyways, because his word said it is. And there is power. And if you'll stay with it, you'll notice a difference. Do you notice a difference when you don't have power at your house? Have you ever had a power problem, a difficulty, and temporarily didn't have power? We had one morning earlier in the year. It was before we were coming to church on a Sunday. And all of a sudden, things in my house started flashing, and there's this arcing sound going on. And, you know, for a second, you don't know what to do first, you know. And so anyways, there's all these noises, and things are flashing. And power runs everything in our home, right? You can't even take a shower because it runs your hot water tank, right? We have a baseboard heat. It runs that. And you know, you have no lights to see by anything. You know, you can't do your hair. You can't dry it. You can't curl it. You can't nothing, you know? And so everything you do, you have your food even, your fridge and your freezer and all that. It's being held together there with power. So everything in your home operates on power. But every day you don't go, oh, I'm sure glad my power's working to my fridge. Sure glad that's working. You only notice it when it ain't working, right? But there's a big difference when power's there and when it's not. And you know, I don't feel the power running my fridge. It just is. And I can tell when it's not. Same thing with you. Right? You might not feel the power working, but it is. But you slack off on praying in the Holy Ghost for a while, you'll start to notice that lack of power. Because you look different and things are different without that power. And so if I can encourage you one thing toward making a personal change, it's praying in the Holy Ghost. And then two, it isn't just for your life, although it's going to help your life. But remember, the Bible said there's rivers of living water. And those rivers don't just flow through you, they flow out of your, they flow through you. So it's not just for you, it then helps other people. Because then they come up to things that they need or situations, and all of a sudden you're inspired to say something and it helps them. And it wasn't you, it's the power in you. But you have to be connected. You have to actually practice it. There's no difference if we're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's if we're continually praying in the Holy Ghost. Go over here to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. Get the power flowing in your life, praying in the Holy Ghost. Did you know God does not measure how much power is in your life? You measure how much power is in your life. How much power do you need working for you? Get praying in the Holy Ghost. And the more you pray, the more that power will be flowing to you. And you'll be filled with that power. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. And remember this, because your mind, you know, the mind and the emotions want to feel everything, right? Everything has to have a sensation with it. But it's true whether you feel it or you don't. You may have an experience where you feel the power, but 99% of the time you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you might not feel the power, but it's still working, right? So 1 Corinthians 14, 4 says, 1 Corinthians 14, 4, our overhead guy's taking a break, hold on. Okay, can you go to the King James, please? Okay, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Okay, now go to the Amplified Classic. Edifies himself. He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. Now, if you're married, don't just pray in tongues for you. Pray in tongues for your spouse, you know, for yourself, for your spouse, because they want you to improve, right? And so when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you'll improve yourself. Even when you're not praying for you. That's how good God is. That here you are, praying in the Holy Ghost for someone else, and in the meanwhile, he's working you out. He's sorting all your stuff. He's helping rearrange how you think about things. He's giving you power to overcome stuff. He's giving you divine ideas about things, right? And so while we pray in the Holy Ghost, he edifies himself. Now, the Strong's version says this of edifies. Builds up, rebuilds. Oh, interesting. Rebuilds. Have you ever had things in your life try and tear you down? God will rebuild it while you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Put it all back together for you. You ever go through a trial and some things got tore up in your body? Yeah, just come through that myself. Still believe in God for some things in my body. He's putting it all back together. Right how it should, functioning how it should, levels where it should, whatever needs fixed. I don't even need to know what needs fixed. He just work all that out. So he'll rebuild some things while you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. Repair and establish. It also means this, to promote growth in Christian wisdom. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're promoting growth in Christian wisdom, also in grace and in holiness. And so this is part of the benefit of being filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. Now, I want to share this with you. Go over here to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and we'll read down to verse 30. This is something I meditate in often and say for myself every day. And can I say this? Just remember, especially if you're married, personal change is this, just that. It's personal. You're not trying to change them. It, because you can start to get ideas that you think are God that are not. That if they'll just do this, if they'll adjust that, if they'll... No, this is personal change. We're not pointing to what they need to adjust, what they need to make, you know, different. You can pray for them, but this is about you, what you need to change with the Lord. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and this is the mindset we need to go into when praying in the Holy Ghost, because a lot of people think this, and it's the wrong thought, okay, that this is hard. Personal change is hard. Praying in the Holy Ghost is hard. Having things different is hard. That's the wrong thought. No, it's not. God said this in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know, for a while here, especially since January 1st, it feels heavy and hard. But the more you think and say it's heavy and hard, the heavier and harder it gets. And so I say out loud for myself several times a day, thank you, Lord, my life is light and easy. It's light and easy. Following him is light and easy. Praying in the Holy Ghost is light and easy. It's only hard if you say it's hard and you think it's hard. It's so hard, I never have time. It's so hard, you know I need to start, but this, that, the other. It's not hard. It's easy. What's hard is not praying in the Holy Ghost. It's light and easy. So what's your mindset on it? And I'm going to tell you just a few practical things. I already said it at the beginning, but this, start now. Don't put it off till tomorrow, till next week, till Monday when you start. When I start my diet on Monday, I'm also going to start praying in the Holy Ghost. You'll be fat and unspiritual because, you know, it never happens. Mondays come and go, you know what I mean? And so plan for it. You know, I read this thing recently. We have a service called Teladoc, and it just comes free with our insurance. You know, you can call a doctor, Teladoc. And so they put out like a periodic email, you know, to like preventative health type stuff, eat these five foods for immunity, blah, blah, blah. And they put out this thing recently, and they're trying to encourage people to exercise, you know, to stay in shape and take care of yourself. And what they say is, if you write it down and plan it, you're 10 times more likely to do it, right? And so, well, once you get into a habit of something, it becomes automatic. You actually don't even think about it. You just do it, right? And, you know, people who smoke, they'll be in a place that's non-smoking and they go to light up because it's just such a habit. And then they remember, you know, all of a sudden, like, I can't smoke in here. But it just becomes automatic. But until it's automatic, plan it. Make it part of your day. And even if it doesn't happen when you plan it, at least put it in your day somewhere. You know, get it in there somewhere. Plan for yourself today or every day, whatever, you know, I'll pray in the Holy Ghost for this long, or I'll put it into my schedule here. And we don't want to put God in a box, but you need to get started. And if you don't plan for it, you'll just never do it. What you'll think is, I'll start sometime. Well, that's so vague. You know, I'm going to start tomorrow at 8 a.m. or whatever. For half an hour on my lunch every day, I'm going to do this. You know, plan for it. And also this. Go over here, if you will, with me to 2 Corinthians 6:1. And this is the scripture I was telling you about earlier. And we'll close with this, and then we will pray for a little bit. 2 Corinthians 6:1. We then, as workers together with him. With him. And so, he's wanting to help us make some changes. He's wanting to do some things in our lives and in our hearts and in our bodies and in our marriages and in our minds. He's wanting to help us with some things, but he needs us to work with him. He doesn't just come on you and force you to pray in the Holy Ghost. No, you get started. Then he may tell you one little instruction to do toward that personal change. He may tell you one thought that you've been having for years that was the wrong thought about yourself or your spouse or your body. Change that thought. And little by little, you'll work together with him to overcome that thing. And do not get discouraged by time. Because whether you're trying to lose weight, you're doing a project on your home, you're making a personal change, what's the enemy in your mind? Time. Nothing's happening fast enough. Right? Nothing's happening fast enough. But know if you stay with it, there will be a change. And it may be so gradual that you don't notice it at first until all of a sudden you're like, wow, something's really different. But it happens a little bit at a time, a little bit each day. And also, go easy on yourself, because there may be times when you didn't do it perfect, when you stumbled while you were making that change. You know, you fell back into an old way, or you fell back into the old habit. That's okay. Just get back on track again. So we're working together with him. E.W. Kenyon said this: the prayer habit will be born of your own will. And what that means is people are waiting for this, you know, deluge of God on them to make them feel really good till they pray in the Holy Ghost, or every time they pray in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you might not feel like doing that at all, but it's born of your own will. How much do you want something better and different, not just for you, but for those people around you and connected to your life? And just remember this, what we said in Galatians 5:22, self-control. You have self-control. It can be different if you want it to be. Amen? So let's close here, and let's practice tonight this one thing. You know, I didn't even make it hard for you. The Holy Ghost made it easy. He only said one thing. That's all we have to do toward personal change, this one thing. This will get us started, right? So let's take a little bit of time here and pray in the Holy Ghost, okay? Let's practice what we've preached. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful gift. Oh, this precious gift of being filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues. Father, we thank you. It's the power on the inside for personal change. And Father God, we just believe by faith, because your word says that power is working in us whether we feel it or we don't. And Father, we thank you. If we'll stay with it, we will feel it. When we stay with it, we will see a change. And so, Father, we just thank you now. We're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. O sobre shi branga sombra basta stobre ki branga sombra besto costa brake. A sobre shi kandanga srongonda gaste ki braga stambra bost prost 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 prost. Osta oste oka sodra ista kasange kobrenda. Bang, sond, jund, zund, jund, gazdeg, godrosht. Can you bring the lights down just a little bit? Astabroshunga brokaria kondo shumranda. Bastibre, 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 bosht, break, bait, break, bot, stop, based, break, bost, shot, seka, sigeta, sogota, sagate, sibrad, shibrad, shibrod, debreg, bigand, osta, ste, sti, stang, kosht, shot, 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 shutoga, sutange, brikenda, sodond, dashtand, 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 goshond, gati, siki, brata, soka, shandre, onga, sibrand, sherand, sherand, gosta, brecht, 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 break, osa, oshe, osa, oshe, ika, sagande, Brokosa, shikanda, onge, onga, sode, hoshta, hakande, 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 hikande, asopra, ha, ha.
os hashibra bagandasto shonde bagast brosh.
Whoever's doing the Hovert T, can you put up here Proverbs 31:27 in the Amplified? Proverbs 31:27 in the Amplified, please. So there's a couple ladies in here. The righteous woman, she will not eat of the bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity. Well, there's another person regarding gossip, but discontent and self-pity. Poor me. Oh, poor me. It's always been like this. Why do I have to be in this situation? Why does it have to? Why? Nope. Bible says don't eat of that. Do not eat of discontentment and self-pity. Do not eat of it. It is not for you. Discontentment and self-pity. Mashto prokonda simrambanda hostabishi hostabishi hostabrishe kisand hashok hase hasi hasa haso hase hishang kotrosh de geist geshek kabrosh de bras. And people given to gossip will never be told certain things from the Holy Ghost, because people who gossip can't be trusted, guys and girls. And so you may not even know that you are, but if you're a busybody, you know, you're always in people's business, always wanting to know what's going on with who and the latest and, you know, what's happening with people and who said what and sharing it and talking about it and all of that. If that's you given to gossip, it'll be hard for God to trust you. Because sometimes when you're praying for people, he'll tell you things about their life, but if you're just naturally given to it, he can't have you assigned to that or share it with you, because you'll tell people. Asakamranda shombra geis debre shebre kape koso kashanga branda bosh debre ki astabra sha sabra shabra sabra shabra sabra shabra sabra shabra hoda heda siki kambra shopra shepra deka sembra bos debra shabra kabanda sombra 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 bandi shindi ganda gosto bosho sobra babeshe broka sikam. Bandos to break kish to cast, make us a combrosh to bro, and us a combosh to bray, ambas to brand a bosh to brace to bray, shabray, 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 shabray. Now stoshi keep randanga surundoshta, hadesha, 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 condongo stumbrin bambangando, shombra, nos to be she, nos to brakasht, beka sukondosha, begi siki bragandanga sombra bosho, probosh to bro, padosh to bro, padosh to bro, padosh. Bosh to brok, a bosh to brok, a bosh to brok, a bosh to brok, a bosh to brok. Oda hega hasta brengi si cambranda sombra besti breke ki brak a bosh to brok, a bro to bosh to brok, a bron to bosh to brong, a bosh to bro. Hada hadi hada hado hasha hashe hasho hasha hashe hasho ha ha. O shipra pakandanga sombra besta. Ombra seki isti bagashaka sogondosha break keep got ghost 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 got ghost got ghost goshode gosodre manda shonga sanda shenga sondro bosht bre pika sogondoshte da doshte da. Doshte da handi handa hando hande hinda hango shabreta. O shtipra kanda surun doshura 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 kombrondi gabanda gabrasht to bake
kabosh, tabak, kabrait, tabosh, tabak, kabrait, kabosh, tabrak, kabait, tabosh, bro. Andi sikiki bring anda shuro dombra, anda soko kobro shuro shirabrande, besiri shada, besiri sede, o shuro surora, asta brekeri kibranda shombra, bogosh, biki branda, yesuro shuro shonda, yesuro shurororo shora, yesuro shakondos tadore, de breki break, a bro, de bash, de breki kibata gosond, anga sobro shiprapa has. Sandeshti, 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 Hosora Shuro Combra Besh, the Breshe, the Beshe, the Beshe, the Beshe, the Beshe, the Beshe, the Beshe, Od Ad Ozd Iki Sagasabre, Sagadaste, Shoka Sande, Sheki Sada, Ostabre Sheti Sikambranda, Osti Brabagahanda Hasutoko Shonda, Dranga, Stanga, Stonga, Sombra, Shonde, Banga Sikimbrandashta, Sombre, Pipra Kande, Asonda, 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 Baste, 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 goso tokonda shabrendi gibranda sanda, sanda, shanda, sonda, shenda, singi, shanda, o kasiki ki preshirandanda, o stay, o stay, o stay. And be careful about preferences, what you want in your natural self, preferences. Because having strong preferences leads to discontentment. And discontentment can lead to disobedience. So be careful about your preferences. Mm-hmm. You know, just naturally speaking, my husband would be the type of person that would live in a cabin in Montana and never be seen by people. But God called him to be a pastor. Which is really funny because you're always with people, you're always socializing, you're always in front of somebody, but he'd rather just hide by himself in the woods. But he prefers God. And he prefers God's plan. And so be careful about your own preferences. It can lead to discontentment, which can lead to disobedience. And, Asambra o sokopo shiki brakanda sokonda sheki asto haka shingi ki prakandanga sokondo shabre ki bekason in the distabra shake oste pi shiki kimbra koso shumbronga sakande in the gastaka sopa sepa sonde shideka katange itstoko shumbra baste. And some people have even had thoughts about, if I could just have this, I'd be content. And the enemy will keep people busy tracking down and running down and pursuing that thing to get them content. It could even be more money, and that pulls them out of the plan of God. Hanga soko shobra base to kishaka sakande. O stay, 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 stake day, stanga stakadan. Istoko shonga sakandange sikimbra kandanga soko shob. Pripatoshoka is to keep pranda sokondosh to keep prakasta kashot hoso dish tanga ostobre shigi brakanda ostobre shiki ki pranda homba sikim branda is to bosho prapaste ki sokanda shande ombra ki si braka sode shengi sanga sombre ambro sokoshunde. Shunde, shunde, shunde. Ambra so di pakasa don't stay goshopra. You sika shabade, forsake that. Es si brambanda sombre, if you go so she si frangasta hilka so shumronga savadazde. If you fasasaste shoka hilgustako shunda sande. So if you go shumbra begi, danga make the change, o songa shandre dandistaka shanda content, o sopra based. Big ot ok east ata. Brandisti shabraka sande. Besta.
besta, besta. Your mind can tell you sometimes if you'll just get to this thing, this level of success, this notoriety, this just obtaining something, you know, could be with business and money and those sorts of things. And the enemy will run you all over the place trying to fill up that thing and be content in it, and you never will. It'll always take more time. It'll always take more effort. It'll always take more of you. But if you just seek him, he'll fill you up. He'll fill you up with contentment, and you won't need that anymore. But yeah, and the enemy does that through long work hours, building businesses, all that kind of thing, your own empire. He'll draw you into that, and the more he draws you in, the less contentment there is, but it's almost like an obsession. You have to forsake it. Yeah. Let him fill you. Manga soproshonda kabre shibre kabe tagos tadosh. Too much work. Too much work does that, drawing people away from things, you know. And you'll never be content just overworking. Ashabrakonda gastam brakashta kosta gosha kembra gamba gosta bishabre dastabri savrandasta koshumbra baganda gesta shobre, 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 shobre. Let's pray. Asubo shopra kiste briganda sombre, shombre, sombre, shombre, forsake it, osoka, shagade, segeda, oste, sipra, saka, sokondo shabrengi, branda bosto brengi, branga bosto breki, branga. Sonda shombra 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 doka sibra bade seki sikandashta osokobosha kambrande yes to help asaka shombra bande stika shaka sombra shonda sondra shondra sondra shondra sondra shondra sondra shondra sota 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 o si shade akanda siki brenda shonga sabate doshta sipra shoko sondra Shendi singi shonda seek the true riches. O shiprakanda sukundo shabrengi badanga. Astoko shakombra gamba ganda ge shabregi ki barakand hosto basho ikisigand okosoko sabre sabra sabro sabre sabra sabro sabre sabra sabro kataka siki gamba gonda od 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 od. He's the ghost, he's the head, osto sho kabrendi stang goshonga sonda shambra bande anga songa shake progode. Heels to sto tosha to sengi sikanda shode. Engi sukumronda shipra bast, badesht, badosht, badesht, badosht, badesht, badosht, badesht. Bata, bata, bata. Ong, eng, ing, ond, osht, ong, hosta, 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 hosta. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, oh, say di hingi sanda. Yes, the importance of rest. The importance of rest. It's still commanded to rest a day a week. And there's many violating that. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a man who was picking up sticks on the Sabbath, and he died for doing it. I'm not saying that. But remember, rest is still part of God's plan. It's still part of God's plan. It's still what we're commanded to do. And some people are wondering why certain things aren't working. It's because they're violating rest. Sambra shonga sabatek gist bak kos hosh heg heat hang ost o shobre o shobre o shobre. Basta be kedi kisangandanda shombre shengi branda bost bre shi branga sombra besh to bresh to bresh to bresh to bre andi sandi sandi gada shoge seki braka sogoshta bikande onga si preshti prakanda sogondosha brekendi. Now, sambra shedi. Ladies, can I tell you something for your marriage? Because did you say something last week about marriage? Or did you tell me that privately? But we prayed, now I brought it public, so whatever it was, here it is. But when we prayed last Wednesday together, we were praying about marriages. And then I prayed with Pastor Michael, and turns out the Holy Spirit was saying marriages. And then, I don't know when we were talking about it or something happened. Okay, yeah, last Wednesday, which is after, yes. Because after we prayed, then I said, hey,
The Holy Ghost already said that in Wednesday prayer, but I never tell Tim what we pray about. And it's because you can mess up a service doing that. But anyway, ladies, marriages. Now, we have some kids in here, but minister to your husband, okay? Often. And can I tell you something? He doesn't want to have you just let him. There should be some joy, some excitement, some passion, some seeking him, some, you know, being after him and texting him and preparing him for those things. And, you know, be romantic, you know, enjoy each other. And Tim always says, men like to go hunting, but they also like shooting fish in a barrel, right? It's like, I'm a sure thing, you know? And so anyways, wives, minister to your husband. And not just that way, but really pouring it on for him and to him. And that your mindset is not, this is a duty. You can have that mindset with people, right? With God, that you come to church and pray and all that out of duty. But if you'll first enjoy, the love and the feelings and all that will come afterwards. So forget the duty part and just enjoy him, right? And it will help your marriage. Because there's some husbands going through some things. And it's not just that the enemy's attacking him. The wife could really help break that off and minister to him and help him through some things. If they ministered to him physically, cherished him, doted on him, you know, preferred him, all of those things, right? And because I think men more than women need lots of accolades and you look good and all that kind of stuff. Not that we don't, ladies, but, you know what I'm talking about, right? They just need lots of, what's the word? I don't know. You know, like your little boys, they go around the house and flex their muscles, but they still do it when they're 45, right? And so they need to be told they look good. Tim said Reverend Justin does. So anyways, you know, they need to be doted on anyhow. Okay, if we can pray after that, we're almost done. Asubrandangi shuro kumbrondos de breki banda soka shiki branda soje 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 braka sanga sombra bishirike hastako shoko anga brege gado shade gasinga branda bash de breki siki branga sonda shadonga se kabrashe saba 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 sambra bast shok eight istakasha soka shike mbrendi Sikanda, haldi ko stombra, angis to gondonga, shakepra, gabada, sedingi, sekenda, goso, brabash, debra, kasandi, shenga, sombre, shombre, 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 manga, songa, segi, brishi, braka, sota, shiki, sagand, Kodos, brage, shokota, stimbraganda, gastobi, shega, sokondosha, anga, sokobre, shida, hastobo, shokobronde, besti, kishe, keki, kibrangandasta, shodonga, sade, shade, sado, shade, tede, stade, kaso, prabesh, debre, angi, sikibranda, sikibranda, suroshapa. Meki sikim brangastari shat, a shat, a shak, a brot, a shake, a sombra, a sombra, a sombra, a sombra, baste, beish, boka, sikandanga, oste, miki, shikim brandasta, shokotosta, breki bandasta, band, gadang, gados, tege, bangi, sike, breshi. Yes. Father, we thank you. Okay, there's just one more thing. If you've been dealing with a lot of depression, oppression, discouragement, just a heaviness on you that you feel like you can't shake, come on up here. I'm going to lay hands on you. But come up here quickly. Anybody is that relates to you, come up here quickly. Father, we thank you for your help, for the help of the Holy Ghost.
Anybody that wants to come up quickly. You've been struggling. You feel like you can't get on top of something. The Holy Ghost is going to help you here tonight. Father, we thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. Anybody else? It's available. And there's no shame. There's no shame in it. We have all needed the Lord's help at one time or another for this. Is there anybody else that wants to come up? Okay. Father, we thank you. What you've done for us tonight. Thank you for your word and your instruction. Thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you as we give now, Father God, that it's given back unto those who give good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men will pour into their bosom. Father, we give out of honor and love for you. We're not paying for anything. It's just that we love you. And because we love you, we give, just like you did. Because you love us, you gave. So thank you, Father. We get to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you can pass the bucket. Well, what are you going to do tonight before you go to bed? Hey, just take a few minutes, pray in the Holy Ghost, right? We're going to get on top of some of those things that have tried to dog us for years, that have tried to keep us out of God's best. Just think about the Israelites. Of all those who went up there and saw the Promised Land, two got to see it from that group, Joshua and Caleb, and be determined, I am going to have all that he promised me. Amen. Why don't you stand with me to your feet? Father, we worship you and praise you. We thank you for your word and your help. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.